I can greet you. Good afternoon. Okay. I've been asked to everything put in one basket. Testimony and some reports and something to share about the importance of the Reformation. I do not know how to begin it, but I would like to thank you very much, all of you, to have me here. And Pastor Joe, thank you very much for inviting me to be here. And also I see friends around. I have been talking with some of the friends in outside. Oh, America have a so big head. We Nepali have a so big belly. So we need to resize together. So we are so much unprivileged to have such a theology and the literatures and the Bible schools. You know, you have everything here as a God provided. But there are so many needs. So we can resize the needs, and we want to bring it to our theology, I mean, educations, biblical implementations. So in my country. So, sorry. As the Joe said, maybe I can share a little bit my, for 5 minutes, my testimony, so you may know me a little bit. But if there is time allowed, we can talk much. We know each other much. Because of Nepal is a Hindu country, it was monarch Hindu country. In the 80s, there was a big uprising against the Hinduism, against the any religions, a monarchism. So, as a caste system, and as a discrimination and injustice in the name of religion in Hinduism. So I was joined with the communist. There was no another way or no option to go against this. So I spent about 7 years of my life in underground to be a communist, Maoist, mostly Maoist. It is an extreme line of the communist, is a Maoist. So I was so much successful leader, one of the successful leader, as a regional commander, leading a 14,000 militia, and a third part of the, means at least a controlling the third, the population of the third part of the population of the country. But there was a time I was so successful. I have a big aggressive zeal to against the fighting the king, army. But there was a time I need to lose everything. So there was a two corner. One was that I was the most successful, one of the successful person. Finally, I got in the most successful loser. Great loser. I lost everything, my army, I lost my everything. Make it very, very short. You can go to the YouTube, some of the brothers and brothers, there is maybe some part of my testimonies are there. I don't want to bring it everything here today. Even I don't have much time to say. But that day onwards, in 1985, December 28, I given up my life to Jesus to serve him and to love him forever and ever. I was highly educated, highly ranking, and to continue. That day onwards, I am serving the Lord continually. All of my, the communist has taken the country, communist throw the king, and it's become a republic, monarchism to republic, it's become a secular, a lot of things are happening. I am very well connected with the, all kinds of politicians, and my background is the politics. I learn, I'm graduated from the public administration and politics, and I almost a life from the childhood, I was in the politics. And I love it, politics, but I'm not a politician. I have a flavor in my face, in my tongue. And I'm connected always with the politicians. My friends are, they are ex-prime minister, right now prime ministers, all the MPs, and all of them are around me. I take advantage always. Oh, good friend. They are very good friend. They love me. They want me to go back. Still, they are demanding. And one of the ex-prime minister, Baburam Bhattarai, Maoist prime minister, just he spent it 2 months before, 2 hours with me to talking about to going back to the leading the country. You know? So I have a very good connection, some of the embassies of the like American embassy political wings, and I have a very good connection with the, some of the MPs in the British. And it is not because of the I wanted to be a great politician, but because of the my heart goes for these people to, they need to listen the gospel. In the parliament house, the gospel has to be preached in the parliament house. When the deputy home minister was my friend, I delivered the I called the deputy prime minister, home minister, and he was deputy and home minister. I said that, sir, your honor, I have a gift for you. Can I send it? He said that yes, send it. But he said that you cannot distribute because it's the parliament house. You put it in the pigeon hall. So I send out the 500 Bibles inside the parliament house. So every piece. So there was a big dispute and big things are going inside the parliament house. Who put it this? Who allowed to do this? It was the home minister. So this is my desire. So I would like to read out something. So this is the short one. Now I am married. I have a wife. So lovely wife. She keep on praying and she lead the prayer group and they pray for her. We have a special, very, very, very special task force for prayer. Task force is a dynamo, the powerhouse. It's a real dunamis, real. So I feel that when they pray, I would like to pay. Not to pay any resources. Means I want to go. I want to do something for the Lord. You know, nothing can stop me to do it. Then everything whatever learn is I'm doing evangelism. I'm doing a lot of work. Not in Nepal. In India, Bhutan, Tibet. Lot of danger place. Always I love to take the risks. There is adventure, but gospel adventure, not a physical adventure, a spiritual adventure. I was sharing to my friend yesterday, what things our Lord has done in my life. I cannot imagine. I cannot measure by my own understanding, you know. God has done so much. So I have God has given me a beautiful wife. She is in now Colorado Springs, having some fellowship with the sisters there. She could not come here with me because at the same time it happened at the seminar. So, and the two boys, I have an adopted son, 11, we have a 13 children altogether. Two of the, my blood son and the 11 are adopted. They all of them are, they love the Lord. they are with the Lord. And you know, it's because of, I believe that, that this is the prayer of my wife and the team, and so there. And we are heading, I mean, so my one of my son, it's a God given me a son from the death. He's in London now, he's studying in Roehampton College. He said, Dad, I will go, I will come back and take over the mission. But I want to be an international mission, not a Nepali mission. Okay, go it. Do it. The one son and daughter-in-law is in Australia. They are doing nursing. I pray that they will come back. And the one daughter and the one two sons are in New York. And the daughter-in-law is a nurse, and the son is doing a mass communication. I met them. I said that his name is Dawa, Tibetan boy. Dawa, I want you to see, come back to my home one day. He said, Dad, let me complete something to do. It's America is so advanced and advantage. I knew. But I'm not going to that much. You understand your country better than mine. Yeah? This is my testimony. Lord saved me from the death and deeds, and I have a heart for my nation. I have a passion for my own nation. So when I was connected with the Joe, he said that I'm a Jewish guy. I say I'm a Gentile. So listen. I told him I'm a Gentile. He said he was Jewish. I'm a Gentile. So we can do. Huh? There is only two people. One is two community. One is Gentile, one is Jew. No problem. We can do something. So I'm very privileged to come to this conference and have a fellowship with you. That's why I want to a little bit bring it about the how we were connected. And last year, Dr. Paul Nelson and the Randy, they are leading the team, and some of them were from Southern California. And we had such a great blessing. So we are very, very much blessed to translate the Dr. Downing's and the book Catechism and First Missionary, and we are going on this year for another 5 books. I told Stan Morrell, we are using some of his books. Yeah, it's sent from the Pensacola. They will send it to us. I told him that you are already there. Yes, you are already there. Don't worry, doctor. You are already there because of your books are there. And the Dr. Downing was telling me that yesterday, brother, I can go or not. I said that you have already been there. You are there. If you been once, you may not go twice or another time. But you have sent the books there. You are literature there. You are education there. It remains in forever and forever and generation to generation. That's why the Pastor Joe is, I think he's heeding, he's taking to courage aggressively to carry out the books all over the world, is that someday there will be no more Joe, there will be no more Samuel. But whatever you invested and whatever you carry, the things over there, it will remain until the earth come in. So this is the first love. We are so proud to have it, the books and translation, and work on about this. So thank you very much. And also this is the little bit for first love mission or publishing. It is we want to have more. Not more, enough. We want to have enough. So we want to have enough. It needs your prayer. I believe that it can be because of the mountains. Even they don't have in the New Testament, you know. So they need they are no teacher. Very simple pastors. Even some pastor cannot read properly and they cannot write properly. But though they have 300 and 400 members. Do you believe that? Even pastor cannot read and write, but the whole village is come to the Lord and come in. They need the education. So we cannot go individually and personally to teach them about all theology or systematic theology. But if you put it the books, literature, it can go house to house, person to person. That's I believe. So this is the psalm about the... And so we are last year also, as I'm a very, very reform boy. Everybody call me Spurgeonist in Nepal. maybe Calvinist, it doesn't matter, whatever. But the more ever, these are our people who guided and lead us. I'm more a Bibleist. What does the Bible says? I will do it. So I was that the lamb, that the train, that was the lamb, was the Calvin and the Spurgeon. So we are so, no? So I believe that this has, so dare to say that in the 93, when I was the first reform person to go to Nepal, there were many, many reform people, missionary, many evangelicals were, they never pronounced like they were reform. But when I complete my study in London, even I was, Dr. Peter Master was my principal, a teacher, a tutor, a mentor. I told this, Dr. Peter, I was a bit stubborn boy in the college, not doing very well. But the one day I told Dr. Peter Master, Dr. Peter Master, I'm going back to my home to be a reform preacher. He said that, well done, God bless you, Samuel. Just laugh it and smile and he said, I pray for you. Then I back to the country, Nepal. Then I started to preach. I was so much isolated, persecuted by the other brethren. So we walked down to the somewhere place. And my wife and the one of my brother and the one of my niece, we four people kneel down and pray, Lord, we want to see something that happened to be here as a true gospel, true Bible teachings, and we prayed 25 years before. In the coming September 17th, next year, we are celebrating 25 of the Reform Baptists in Nepal, September 17th. So I'm there to say that. We started, poor people kneel down to the before the Lord. And we pray out, we cry out to the Lord. Now we have more than 40,000 members. More than. How it will happen? Not because of me. Not because of, but because of him. We know, we stand, we put for him, then he is the one. So we have a Bible school. I have trained more than 1,000 pastors, ordained. And then in February, they are going to be ordained about 28 pastors in Nagaland. I'm going there to ordain them. Last year, how many of you? 55 pastors last year we ordained. Everybody are church planters. And very aggressively we are doing it. And we have a Bible school, women school, in the house to house. I would like to talk a little bit later on about the Reformation, but it's evangelical language. Maybe we use the Reformation, and some of the brethren are talking about the revival. Yeah. It is how we interpret revival and reformation. But in the Nepali context, I would like to share a little bit. But a little bit make a short that the things are now, we are so blessed. Why I'm doing this is one of my challenge and inspiration. of the scripture I would like to read out. Are you okay with my English? I am the one of the world poorest in English speaking guy. I have a lot of things in my heart, but always I use the communicate language for communication better. I could communicate. anybody would like to help me to read out the book of Acts? So maybe it will be better English for you. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 24. The day of the Lord, in the day when I asked the Lord, Lord, I want to be evangelist, to go door to door and people to people to say, to preach the gospel to my people. And the Lord gave me this word. I read it and I was so inspired by this scripture. And I will take it for it's my inspiration, encouragement. This anyone can help me to read it. Chapter 20, verse 24. Okay, sir.
But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God.
Thank you. I believe that this is the reformation. Just it. If you take it, this scripture, it is a reformation. At the 14th century to 20th century, if you look at the reformation, this is the reformation. You know? It's a big history. We have a lot of history. American reformation, European reformation, all reformation. But I believe this verse is the key for the reformation. Everybody, they give up their life to testify the Christ. And the first is they will not count their life dear to them. Anyway, I will come back. So these are the things. As the Joe said that we are running a television also. I go for television occasionally and the radio. And a lot of Maoist leaders and the top guys are coming to the Lord. And I have easy access to reach them. I work with the Voice Nepal. It's called, I'm president of the Human Rights, one of the Human Rights. I'm not only evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I make God has given me all the way to access to them, how to reach them. I work with the Human Rights. I was arrested in Bhutan. They're just arrested by the police. And say that, okay. He said, the police chief came to me and said that, okay. Why you violated our law here in Bhutan, and you are doing such a things. And say, sir, I respect your country, your government. He said, he's a captain. He's an Interpol, works with Interpol. And he said that, okay, sir, you work with the Interpol. I work with the Human Rights. I told him, okay, if I am a Christian, you suspect me as a Christian, I'm coming to your country, you detain me, you arrest me. Okay, sir, you are Interpol, I am my Human Rights, shall I ask you one question? He said, yes. And said that, if you come to Kathmandu, Nepal, if go to the monastery, shall I detain you? Shall I ask my government or police to detain you or arrest you? No. Then why you ask me to detain? Why you call me to? Then he said that, sit down. And say, he said that, next time, if you come to next time, let me know first. We may have a dinner together. I said that, the Jesus bless you, sir. No problem. Okay. These are the things that are so so many things are happening. So we have now our own churches are 400 churches, and the networking churches are, we have 900 churches. Altogether, 500 plus 400, 900. I'm sure that another 10 years, there will be 2,000 churches. Before I go to the glory, I pray to the Lord, I want to see 100,000 pastors. 100,000 pastors I want to see, be trained. Of course, I need to reduce my age. I was introduced by the Dr. Paul, was 68. I am not 68. I am now 53. So there is some more to live. So that is the deal I have it. Okay, so thank you very much. Also, you sent it. You know that 2 years before, there was a big devastation country and the earthquake. About 10,000 people were killed. 50,000 were wounded. And now half millions of houses are destroyed. At that time, in sorrow and painful time, you all the brethren and sisters, you prayed for us. And you sent your love gift. Thank you very much. Anyhow, they had a relief. And we use it very carefully and prayerfully. And also, now, in the, these 2 months before, there was a big flooding. Not much people were killed, but the 80% of the crops and grain and paddy was destroyed, washed away. They are going to be a great famine. Let the Lord God send us something to do, something to eat for these people. You continually be with us and pray for us. We appreciate your prayer. And these are the things I would like to thank you. And let me go. So how much time I have it? 10 minutes. Okay, I can make it 10 minutes, no problem. I already preached the Reformation. That's it. Take it one scripture. You go ahead. That is the Reformation. Okay, thank you very much. I prepared 60 pages of my message. Many pages of my passage. I remember when the Joe told me you have a 10 minute or 20 minute to preach. I remember from South Carolina, I applied to Tennessee one time, 4 or 5 years before I flew there, and we drive 2 hours. One of my friend from Jackson, he take me down 60 miles or maybe many miles, 150 miles we driving. He said that we need to reach somewhere there, and we arrive in the Little Moor, in 2 hours driving, and there were about 60, 70 pastors together. And they told me that, we have a friend from Nepal. He's going to speak us. It was 2 minutes. I flew from South Carolina to Tennessee, from Tennessee to Jackson, and we drive down for 2 hours, and they say that we have a friend from Nepal. And he's going to share something else for 2 minutes. I say that, whatever, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Then I took the time for 2 minutes. But you know, that was the meeting, the best way turned out, in the best way. God bless and all there in the 2 minutes. Who knows? That's why I believe. One thing is the Reformation or whatever, revival. I don't believe in the monumentum. Sometimes we believe our history like a Reformation. We know a lot of things are. It is a monumentum, you know. We turn it as a monumentum, but I believe in the momentum. You know, Reformation is not a monumentum. We lock up all the things in the book, and we have write down in the book and put it in together in the book. It is then we lock up and we do things. It is like a monument, you know, monumentum. We remember the Calvin, we remember the Latimer, and we remember the Baxter, we remember the John Whitfield, everybody, we remember. Is it good to remember them? It's good, very good. We have a great respect. They are the reformers. They were the warrior for Christ. And they, because of them, our country, our people were blessed. God turned in a curse into a blessing. But it's real. We are putting them in a monumentum, or we are bringing them in a momentum. I believe in the momentum. This is the, if I just read it, this scripture, it is a monument. I can write a big letter and I put it a pole, says so and so. If I'm not doing, it is a monument. If I'm doing, this is the moment. Moment is the things to make happen. So, okay, maybe there are 5 minutes left. I will go quick back to what's the lesson I have given. This is the Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3. That is the lesson. This is the reformation. I was asked to speak about this. Revelation chapter 3, 1, 2, 3. It is a letter to the Church of Sardis. Okay, let's read whatever time. Let me take a little bit, 1 minute more, or it's okay? We are not very good in time in Nepal. What happened, you know, the British people, they came to Nepal, they give us a watch, but they didn't give us a time. They take back time. They took back time. So only we have a watch, no time. Okay. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirit of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are the ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you and as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. What I believe, as the church means that this, the church, wasn't a heresy. They were not called. Even they were not completely dead. This church was a doing not good, lazy. And the mostly, the Sardis church was the urge to obey the Christian truth they had here when they were first believed in Christ, to get back to the basic of the faith. It is a very, very important is that they were not dead, even though it's a sin to death. Because of the verse 2 said that strengthen what is remained. There was a little hope for this church. Little hope for the church. I remember the day of the destruction of the Sodom and Gomorrah. The God is asking to Abraham that if any, Abraham was pleading to the God, God, don't destroy. He said, if you found the 40 people, I will not. Then come down to the 30 people, I will not. No, non-30 people. And even even 20 people, 10 people, and 5 people I will not destroy. It is the grace of God is always in hope. So what I would like to bring it this, it is a real What is the reformation? Why we need the reformation? How we can bring it to reformation? The reformation is very, very easy. You can see the reformer's lifestyle, what they have done. You can do it. Reformers, it is an apostolic faith. That those who are reformer means it's a theologically the format of the God created the human beings as an image of God. The according to that Romans chapter 5, the first Adam destroyed the formation of God. Then the second Adam, Jesus Christ, reformed the image of God. That's it. That was apostolic message, apostolic evangelism, apostolic mind, apostolic desire, if you have it. Church will take it, reformation. And another language, nowadays the popular language, they use the revival, revive. What we have, it's mostly we reform people use the reformation. Reformation is the formation, but the revival is the, like what you have it, strengthen it. This church is not asking to for reformation, but that this church has been asked to do a revival. You know, they are doing it, but that they are not doing well enough. They are not doing sufficient what they're supposed to do it. Because of they were always in the, these churches were in the Laodicea, Sardis, these churches were take care of well, and they were in the comfort zone. You know? That's why they thought that they were doing very well. They are serving the Lord. They are doing something great for the Lord. But the Johann, he was a revelation that they were not doing. This is the letter not to face to face. You know? It is a revelation, ordinary place to extraordinary place. You know, the John wrote this letter from the Patmos, you know. It was not the ordinary place. It was a revelation. I believe that when people have a revelation, then there will start a revolution. You and me, if we don't have a revelation of the scripture, revelation of the nation, revelation of the people, there is no revolution. No revolution, no reformation. Okay. Like we have a revelation to bring the books in people. It brings a revolution, and after revolution, there will be reformation. The people will be reformed. That is that I believe. So this is the very important thing, sir. It is a really we need a reformation or revival. We need to be take up in another level, from comfort zone to the maybe another level, ordinary place to the extraordinary place. Sometimes we feel that we are in the extraordinary place. We are. Of course, you might think, and I may think but this is not an extraordinary place. God has taken John to the Patmos. That was the extraordinary place. You don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to go it. Then who will go it and who will do it? It's the important. That is the thing. Sir. Today, the world is corrupted. As like a church of Sardis. Is it the church means the church or death? We are reformed without reformation. Sometimes. Let me conclude. We are revival. Without revival, We are very strong in the Bible, like about the monument. We know everything. But God has asked us to take it another level. Is the one thing is that today challenge, reformation is there. But if you're ready to what you have, strengthen it. Everybody have it. We leaders, we pastors, we preacher, we visionary, we missionary, everybody have something, remind it. If something are left, something with you, something with me, strengthen it. This is the church. Strengthen it. Don't look at other things. Now, that means not mean to be what others are doing. Question is that what the church is doing and what you are doing, what am I doing? That is the mean. What is strengthen, what is remind is not a what other doing, what you are doing, what I am doing. It's very important. I see that this is very important. That is the information. That is the reformation. We are reform. Sometimes we are not without reformation. The reformation is very, very important. Is that today churches need to know, need to strengthen what is remind. You know, don't think of what you lose it, but think of what you have it. Do it what you have it. You know, we so upset sometimes what we could not do it. You know, we so sorry what we could not did, but we are not conscious of the what we supposed to do it. The thoughts of service, the June writes that do it what you have it. Everybody is obligated to do it. Everybody have it. Everybody are obligated to do it what you have it. Because of it is a reformation is not an ideology. It is a reformation, it's not a dogma. The reformation is your heart, what is remind. Huh? Sometimes we call it, we are fundamental. Only mental in funda. Mentally funda we are. Yeah? But these people thought of that they were really fundamental. You know? They were doing, they thought that they were doing so much. But the underside of Lord, they are dead. But they were not completely dead. Something was left. So this is a challenge. It is a God want to bring a reformation, a revival to the church of Sardis. Today we feel that. So we are not, sometimes we feel that we have done enough. We are doing much. But what is the sight of the Lord? What we are. That is the things. We need to be calculated our this, our life, our calling, our vision. I'm not really come to hear this. Sometimes I'm a one-time teacher. Next time, no one allow me. It happened many times. One-time speaker. Next time, no teaching, no pulpit. It's okay. I feel that not because of I'm really urging you to do it, but as a common, including myself, this is the Lord has given us a strengthen what is remind. We reform doctrines. We reformers are. We are sometimes we are so limited. You know, we don't want to strengthen and we don't want to go out. We don't want to do it. But we want to ask people other to do it. You know, God has blessed me. I can do much, but always my heart goes to the. It is very important. It is to strengthen the church, strengthen what is remained. Still we have a great hope. We are standing with brethren. Reforms are still heavy. I believe that the Lord is going to give us another chance to shaken this world for reformers. We reform people. Because of the truth is the truth. It remains, and the God will give us another chance. I mean, you, brethren or sister, you may believe that. Yeah? If we are here, if we are here, God will give us another chance to shake the world by the truth of Christ. Thank you very much. May God bless us together. In Jesus' name, amen.